Good morning. From now through Easter, we are following Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke, learning alongside our children and youth in church school. Our Lenten theme is Everything in Between, meeting God in the midst of extremes. This week, we explore the extremes of faith and works through the story of Mary and Martha. In this story, we invite you to listen for which person you most closely identify with. The preacher will have a quiz for us. I'd also like to thank Toby, Wesley, and Elizabeth for helping me this morning imagine how Jesus might have sounded when he spoke to Martha. Thank you. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." For the good news of Jesus Christ, thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. God, wherever we are this morning, we trust that you will come and meet us, that you are always waiting for us. Whether we're too busy to notice or whether we take a time out. And so here in this place, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. And let the people say, Amen. Amen. I kind of want to have Alicia, Wesley, Toby, and Elizabeth preach now, because they had a good time talking about this story. So I have to get those notes a little bit later. Thank you, Alicia, for that beautiful reading. So I told them last time I preached, Carolyn, that you said I'm sometimes at my best when I'm Socratic. And so I'm going to start out just a little Socratic, and then we're going to go on from there. So as you were told, there's a quiz. How many of you identify with Mary in this story? Okay. First of all, how many feel like you're familiar with this story? Okay, yeah. How many of you identify with Martha with this story? Yeah, I actually thought a bit more, but yeah, that's about right. How many of you identify with Jesus in this story? Yes, Wesley. Why do you identify with Jesus in this story? Can you say? You can think about it. If you have an answer for me, let me know in a minute, because you already preached on this sermon in Sunday school. Anybody have this kind of dynamic going on in your family? Yeah, I see a nod over there. Yeah. Well, I do too in my household have this dynamic. We joke that one of us has the motto of me do it, like a toddler who's just learning how to do things. Me do it. And the other one of us has the motto of you do it. Now, you would think that there's some nice complementarity in that, right? You do it, me do it, right? There is. There's also some tension, right? One of us grew up in a family with the firm ethos of DIY, do it yourself. The more money you can save, the more self-reliant, the more you can fix and solve things on your own, the more successful you are. Me do it. Another one of us grew up in a family with the firm ethos that success means that you can pay other people to do things that you don't want to do. And it's likely that the more you pay them, the better it will be. You do it. You can imagine the tension this has brought up over 35 years of marriage. And that tension is here in this story, in the gospel, because when Jesus comes as an honored guest, the me-do-it person cries out, "Lord, don't you care that he has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Please tell him to help me." And what does Jesus say? "Mr. Me-do-it, you are worried and distracted by so many things, and only one thing is necessary. Mr. You-do-it has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from him." Really? In my household, it has taken us at least 30 years to be able to joke about this. And those of you who know us well can kind of guess who is who, but I promised I would not throw anyone under the sermonic bus today, even though I was given permission to. There's a tension because the me-do-it person can plan a dinner party, do the shopping, prepare the food, set the ambiance, light the candles, turn on the music, figure out the timing of it all. And then when the guests arrive, the you-do-it person may not be quite ready. And then, through all the hugs and hellos of the guests, decides just to become one of the guests themselves. And the me-do-it person says, "Could you take off their coats or offer them a drink, please?" Dot knows what I'm talking about. There's a complementarity and there's a tension in this kind of relationship, and a lot of us have it going on in our families and our households. So as Alicia alluded to, the series we're doing in Lent is called Everything in Between. It's about living between extremes, things we may think as poles, opposite poles, intention and action. Next week we'll be talking about stranger and neighbor. Today we're talking about faith and works, or as I also think of it, as being and doing. We'll be talking about lost and found, about rest and growth. Also on righteousness and mercy. And on Palm Sunday, we're going to talk about shouting and silence. On Maundy Thursday, we're going to talk about power and humility. On Good Friday, we'll be talking about acceptance and resistance. Seems very valid and to the moment. And on Easter, we'll be talking about grief and hope. In our discussion about this passage this week in staff, Amy thought it would be interesting to imagine a conversation between these two sisters, Mary and Martha. Maybe something like this after Jesus leaves. "Girl, why did you leave me hanging out there to do all the work?" "Well, you're so good at it, and you seem to enjoy it." "Well, I do enjoy it, but I need some help." "Well, you know, you always seem so confident and competent putting it all together." "Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's easy." "Well, I'm sorry, Martha. If you had said something earlier, I would have helped you." "Mary, after all these years, I shouldn't have to say anything. You should just know." "Martha, dear, I am not a mind reader. You know that." "Well, yes, but we've been through this again and again. Of course you couldn't have helped me anyway, because you were off doing your hair and your makeup and singing songs or whatever you do out in the yard. Don't you know Jesus doesn't care about hair and makeup? Besides, you're not his type." "Well, I don't know about that." "Meanwhile, I am slicing and dicing and sweating and fussing and trying to make a pleasant dinner party for all of us. Martha, Martha, honey, I'm really sorry, but it doesn't have to be that way. You see, I was focused on trying to make Jesus feel welcome. He has so many wise things to say and so much compassion and love that when he comes to visit, I just want to soak up his kindness and wisdom." "I get it. That's all well and good, but I'd like to have that kind of time with Jesus too." "Well, then why didn't you put down your apron, turn off the fire, and come and join us?" "Because I figured there would be time for that after we enjoyed the nourishing, tasty meal I made. And I didn't want to burn the lentils. You know that a good meal requires some good timing." Martha, sister, you know that my love language is quality time. What? There's a book. It's not going to be written for two centuries, but it's all about how we have five different love languages. It's how we express our concern and care for other people. Oh, my frickin' God. No, listen. The author says there are at least five love languages. Words of affirmation, physical touch, gifts and presents, quality time, service to others. Your love language is service to others. Huh. My love language is quality time. The fact is, you and I need both, right? We need service, and we need quality time. We need being, and we need doing. We need faith, and we need works, as the letter to James will tell us. And we also need to honor the Mary and Martha in each one of us. Those of us who lean quite naturally into the just being, you do it mode, can stand to lean more into the doing, me do it mode. And vice versa. Those of us who lean into the doing mode, and I know there are a lot of us here, who derive our sense of self-worth sometimes too often by how much we have to do and how busy we are, right? We really need to take some time every day, sometimes every hour, just to be. I mean, really, just be. Make it a priority. Start our days with a reminder of what it means to be human, what it means to be God's child, to give thanks for another day of life, to not go to the email right away or go to the media source or the social media. My brother told me he now sleeps with his phone in the other room. Just take a moment to breathe and to thank God, to remember that we have another day as a living, breathing entity. Just lie there in bed and take a few deep breaths and remember that. Now, I will agree with a lot of commentators that Jesus seems unnecessarily harsh on Martha, and I would encourage us in our prayer life, as this story may last through the week, to argue with Jesus about that. But you have to also remember, we only heard Luke's version of this story, and Luke also has a certain point of view, because I will tell you that Martha's point of view has value and is necessary in order to build God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We need Marthas. We need the Martha in each one of us. And as they discussed in Bible study this morning, in the Greek, it actually says that Martha is distracted and preoccupied by much service and ministering to others. Diakonia. It's how we get the word deacon, which literally means serving at the table. It's like waiting tables. And Jesus' call, the prophet's call, is that we all serve and minister to other people. And in the Greek, Jesus' response can better be translated as saying, Mary has chosen not the better part, but the good and useful part. Not necessarily a judgment call, but a way of saying Mary's approach has great value. I've been thinking about all of this a lot in terms of this current moment in history, about what this story says to us as we live between being and doing, between our faith and our works. Recently, a rabbinical colleague recalled in a group of clergy that one of the sweetest moments she had had recently was being back in Israel with her relatives she hadn't seen since the war started, at Hanukkah time, lighting candles and singing songs together. One of the sweetest moments she could recall. Or I have a good friend who just became a grandfather for the first time. He's a man of many accomplishments. He has an international reputation. And now the center of his world has become his baby granddaughter, and how he can just cherish her life and sit at the rudder of the boat of his family and help steer the course so that his whole brood can live as fully and as vibrantly as possible. These things, these moments, are the true essence of life. I believe they're the things that make life worth living. And we have to savor and enjoy them, or else we're going to miss them altogether. And I believe this needs to be the chief aim of our serving others, that all our effort, all our striving, is so that as many people as possible, all over the world, all over our country, all over our community, can enjoy these sweet, sweet, precious moments in life, in relationship with one another. And it means that each one of us needs to claim that as well. There's a children's version of this story that Amy also shared with me that fleshes it out beautifully. And in it, Jesus says to Martha, "Martha, Martha, don't worry so much about the cooking. Look, you're a very kind person, but you need to sit down and rest a little while too. Come and talk with Mary and me." "Aren't you hungry?" Martha asks. "Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the food you're preparing, but I'm also hungry for another kind of food that Mary and I are sharing here together." "I don't understand, Lord." "There's another kind of food. It's the kind of food that helps you grow inside." So Martha wiped her hands on her apron, and she sat down with Mary. And Jesus continued, "It's the kind of food that you are preparing right now. That food's going to feed us for today. It's our daily bread. But we also need the food of God's love. It's the kind of food that will feed us for our whole lives." Martha took a beat. She had an aha moment, and she said, "We need both kinds of food to be strong, don't we, Lord?" "That's right." "So, Martha, let's sit down and talk for a while. We'll share one kind of food, and then after a while, we'll get up and help you prepare another kind of food." That's what we're doing here. We're singing and praying, listening to beautiful music, baptizing a precious little child, looking in each other's eyes, and remembering what is most important in life, and we will eat our fill in this place together. And then we will go out, and we will love and serve our God by loving and serving our neighbors, so that all may enjoy this sweetness of life. Amen.